God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you tonight from God our Father, our Creator, and from Jesus Christ, through whom we were made our Redeemer. Amen. Well, tonight we are continuing a sermon series that we began last Advent when we're looking at Christ's appearances in the Old Testament. You know, He actually appeared throughout the Old Testament before He was born of the Virgin Mary and took on human flesh. He actually appeared to a number of the patriarchs. In fact, we saw in Advent, we saw Him appear to Abraham and to Hagar and to Jacob. And tonight we're going to look at when Jesus appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. And we'll read it and then ask this question: what do we learn about Jesus in this passage and His relationship to us? So you ready? Let's take a look and just read to begin here, Exodus chapter 3, and refresh ourselves when Jesus appeared to Moses in the Old Testament days. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him out of a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And Moses looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he said, do not come near. Put off the shoes from your feet, for the place upon which you stand is holy ground. And he said to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then God, the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, flowing with milk and honey. Then he says, come, I'll send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. So there's, the story goes on from there, but this is when the Lord appeared to Moses at his beginning of his calling and his ministry. And so what can we learn about Jesus? What can we learn about our relationship with Him through it? All right, let's take a look. Number one, we can see that Jesus here is God. How do we know that? It says, the angel of the Lord. Jesus often appears as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament days. And the word angel there can mean a created being, but not always. A lot of times, really the word just means messenger, one who is there to bear a message, sent with a message. And Jesus is the angel of the Lord, as we see in other passages of the Old Testament. How do we know He's God, though? Because the angel of the Lord is over here, in the midst of a fire, in the midst of a bush. And the angel then announces his identity, right? He gives his passport, if you will, his identification card, his driver's license, if he had such a thing. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And so the wonderful, amazing news is that Jesus is God, and He appears to a person. Isn't that really cool? Wouldn't that be amazing if the God who created you, and who stretched out the stars, through whom all things were made, came and was this close to you and spoke face to face with you as a man? Wow. That's what happened here in Moses' day. Remember, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's right. Jesus is God. It's in Isaiah chapter 9. It says, He will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When Thomas saw Him after He was raised from the dead and he didn't believe, Jesus says, put your finger here. Place it in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Do not be faithless but believing. And then what does Thomas say? My Lord and my God. And Jesus says, now you're believing, Thomas. And so we certainly see that Jesus Himself is God. He is the one. There is one God and Father, it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In fact, let me just read that to you. It says, you know, there are idols of the nations and stuff. They're all no gods at all. They don't have real existence. But for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. At the very beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's the Father. The Spirit's hovering over the face of the waters. And then God, how does he create light? And God did what? He spoke. Let there be light. And there was light. Who is the Word? That's Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right there in the first two verses of the Bible. So Jesus is God. The angel of the Lord is appearing here now to Moses. Next thing we learn here about Jesus is that he is a miracle worker. I mean, here we have a bush, and Moses is astounded. It's burning, and yet it's not consumed. I'll turn aside to see. Do you have a miracle working God who can do supernatural things? Jesus says all things are possible to him. I love this verse. Listen to this one. It's one of my favorites. In Isaiah 43:13, God says, I am God, and also henceforth I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who can hinder it? Who can say boo to God? Who can say, don't do that? Whatever God plans, whatever he purposes, that he does. And who can stay his hand? And you know what this great word about that is for us and his relationship with us? He uses that power for us. What are you afraid of? What is uncomfortable? What is scary in your life? What is a tormenting giant, an evil? Are you even afraid of death? We serve a God, this Jesus, this angel of the Lord through whom you were made, and I was made. He says, even if you die, I speak to you and I say, get up, and you live. Because I live, you're going to live also. He has the power to do anything. And he says, I'm going to use that power on your behalf. And if you suffer for a while, it's only according to my good purposes to form you after my own image. But I will use my powers on your behalf. He is the miracle-working God. With God, nothing is impossible. And here Moses sees that, even in this case of the burning bush that was burning and not being burnt. And where was Jesus? He was in the midst of that fire, calling to Moses out of. And what does he tell Moses? Don't come near. Don't draw near here and take off the shoes from your feet, for this is holy ground. So what do we learn about Christ and God? He's holy. We don't hear that much in our culture anymore, is it? Do we? How did Moses respond to this? Yippee, he's holy. Or he hides his face. He turns away. He's afraid. There's a great fear of the Lord here. Paul says that God dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. I think in our culture, if I can just be my own perspective here, I think a lot of people don't fear the Lord anymore. There's no fear of God in this place. Not here, but in general in our culture. You hear about God's name, he's so casually, people blaspheme and use him and say, oh my God, and things like that, without really calling on him. But this is a holy God we're dealing with here. He's not, as a lot of people think, this big cosmic pussycat. Come here, God, just jump on my lap and I'll pet you for a while and purr and make me happy and comfortable. He is a holy God. And he inspires fear and awe on account of his power and holiness. And here he is dwelling in the midst of the fire. And Moses hides his face. Of course, he's the most humble man on earth, the Bible says. But also, he is a sinner. And so, I think perhaps against what our culture says today, I'd prefer to go with Job. And Job says, it's in Job 42, Job answered the Lord, I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's a good word for the beginning of Lent, when we're repenting, right? Remember that he's a holy God. Here's another good thing, though. Though he's holy and he says, don't draw near, stay where you are. I am the holy God in the midst of the fire. What did Jesus do, though, to him? He drew near to him, didn't he? I mean, Jesus came down and visited Moses, and he drew very near to him. That shows how God wants to be near to you, doesn't he? Jesus, God is not just some God who's off there, and he's forgotten you, and he's off in some other, Timbuktu planet in the universe. He desires to be with you. He draws near to be with you. In the midst of his people, wherever two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. He's a God who draws near to us, and He knows everything about us. Listen to these words that we learn here in Exodus chapter 3 as God goes on. He speaks to Moses. Notice he calls him by name. Moses, Moses. Denise, Denise. Art, Art. Jenna, Jenna. Greg, Greg. He knows your name. Do you think God really knows your name? How many people believe God knows their actual name? And he calls you by name. How precious and how personally he knows you. Think about that. And then they want to hear what he says. I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings and I've come down to deliver them, etc. What can God say about your own personal life right now? He can say, I have seen, I have heard, and I know all about you. I have heard your cries, not one of them is lost before me. David says that, put thou my tears in thy bottle, are they not all in thy book? Right? What are you going through tonight, friends? Do you think your God is far off? He is so near that he sees you, he hears you, he knows your sufferings, and we read it right here where we get the rock solid truth in God's word. And also the wonderful word is he says, I come down to deliver you as well at the proper time and according to his great holiness. He loves you. He knows even the hairs of your head. Now, when I think about that, I think of my hairs. He must be taking the subtraction every once in a while. You know, getting out his calculator and saying, okay, he has this many less hairs today. Or it's receding back here, and I really shouldn't share this, but sometimes I find that my hair is growing out of other parts of my body as I'm getting older. Even though I'm losing it back here, it's coming out here and here. That's a little embarrassing. God knows that, though. You know, before I go to church on Sunday, my wife, I never think of these things, but she checks me over. And she's like, you know, you need to trim a little bit there to be presentable to the congregation. And maybe she even does it for me. Guess what? If my wife, Beth, knows to trim me where I need to be trimmed, how much more your Heavenly Father knows your every hair upon your head and everything about you. Don't doubt that tonight. This scripture teaches us that when Jesus appears to Moses, he knows, he hears, he sees. And also, he's a calling God. Notice everything up until this point for Moses is going pretty great. Here's this great God. He's appeared. He's holy. He's going to come down and deliver the people. Hooray! That's great. Then he says, you're going to go and do it for me. Can you feel his throat, his heart just dump up into his throat? Boom, 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 boom. Now it's really beating fast. Me? I can't do this. I'm not qualified for that. I can't do that. And in fact, all the excuses that he throws out there, right? Who am I that I should go to deliver the people? God says, but I'll be with you. But if I go, who will I say sent me? I don't know your name. I am has sent you. But they won't believe me. Well, here are some miracles that you can do, and they'll believe you. I'm not eloquent. I don't know how to talk. I'm not a good speaker. Oy vey, I don't know how to speak. God says, who made man's mouth? I can put all my words in your mouth. Then at last he says, send somebody else. He just comes right out with it. And then finally God gets frustrated. And God can get frustrated with us too and angry. But then he pursues Moses with patience and love. And he says, all right, I'll send your brother Aaron with you. And you'll go and you'll perform all these things because I'm going to stretch out my hand and I'm going to do wonders through you. Isn't that a beautiful word? Does God call you is my question. He loves you. He hears you. He knows you. He's God. You were made through him. And now he calls you tonight. He says, I send you, I call you to go out and deliver my people who are living in your around you to bring them out from under bondage to Pharaoh, that is the devil, and out from under bondage to sin, and out from under bondage to death. I send you. And what do you say? I'll go. That's a good answer. We learned something from Moses here, right? Yeah, we go. You know, I don't feel like a great guy to be a pastor. I mean, I do my best and I seek to be honest and all these good things and learn the word, but who am I that God should send me? I like to look at myself as a guy who loves to sail ships and explore the wilderness, and I'm often very shy. You may not think that, but I am. And then you think, who am I that God would send me? I say that to myself. Who am I that God should send me? But God chooses people. Notice, who does he choose in the Bible? He chooses Moses, who is what? A poor shepherd. The man's been wandering in the wilderness. He's penniless. He's got nothing. That's the one I'm going to send to be the deliverer. David was a sheep keeper. God raised him up to be king. Amos said, I'm not a prophet, nor the prophet's son, but a herdsman. I'm a dresser of sycamore trees, he says to his adversaries. But then he says, but the Lord said, go and prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, thus hear the word of the Lord, says Amos. You think God puts that into you? Who does God choose? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world. Even things that are not, nobodies, to bring to nothing the things that are, the somebodies. Does God choose you? Does God choose you? Does God choose you? Does God choose you? You low and foolish and weak person. God says, that's the kind of person in whom my power is going to be made the strongest. Paul even says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And God says, it's not you that's really going to do it. I'm going to send you, but it's my own outstretched hand, he says to Moses, that I'll stretch out my hand and work my wonders in Egypt through you to deliver my people. Is he doing that with you? Is he calling you great things? He is. He calls his people to be a royal priesthood. And what did Moses bring with him to go do these great miracles? You know it. What is it? The rod. The shepherd's rod. Was that something that like appeared like a Superman cape out of heaven? He's been carrying this rod around for years. It's the same ordinary stick that he'd had all the way through the wilderness. And God says, I'm going to take that ordinary stick that you've been carrying for years and doing nothing with, and I'm going to do supernatural works through that. How about your own talents and your gifts? You think, I don't have anything really to go with, Lord. Just take your ordinary, little, trivial little things that your talents you think they are, and God says, I will send you with those, and I will multiply them. I will empower them. I will stretch out my hand to do wonders through your ordinary talents, and I will do wonders to save my people. And then we learn, come to that great next point here, is that God then says, I've come down to deliver, and he did deliver through Moses. Amen? So God comes to deliver his people. What's he going to deliver you from? He delivers you from sin. He delivers you from the consequences of sin, which is death and the grave and hell forever and burning. He delivers you. He delivers you from the greater Pharaoh, who's the devil, that ancient serpent, that dragon, that fallen cherubim or angel who was thrown down from heaven for his rebellion and who dooms the world to hell and damnation. God says, I will come and deliver you from his tyranny through the one whom I send. Not Moses, but the greater Moses, who is Jesus Christ. And that's my final point today. It's just I think the coolest part of this whole thing is that, check this out. Jesus, the angel of the Lord, appears to commission Moses to go and be the deliverer to the people of Israel. But in reality, ultimately that is just a small model foreshadowing what he's going to do ultimately later, where God the Father is going to send Jesus Christ, his son, to be the great deliverer, to deliver us from our sin and death. So isn't that cool? Jesus here, as God, is commissioning Moses, who is actually representing himself when God the Father sends him to be the deliverer. And of course, Jesus says, yes, I'll go. And he comes and he has delivered us. I want you to know tonight that even though it's 2,000 years ago, it's as real as ever that the God who created this globe, this blue marble that we're floating on, Earth, and he stretched out to all those stars that you see at night, the one through whom you were made, Jesus Christ, has actually arrived on this earth, and he is God's deliverer, and he has accomplished what he came to do, to deliver us to eternal life. Say eternal life with me. And eternal joys. God says, I will crown you with everlasting joy shall be upon your head. That's his promise to us in Jesus Christ, the great deliverer. And so let's have faith in him and rejoice today, remembering he is a holy God, but he's drawn near to us. And now we draw near to him, and he says to you, go and save my people and bring them up to the promised land with yourselves, unto that kingdom that has no end. In Jesus' name, amen.